Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. Thanks for staying with us into our guest segment. You're listening to The Common Sense Show, the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're really glad and thankful for your appearance here with us. And we really, really value you because you're the front line of defense for America. Seems like everybody else is watching the mainstream media and buying into the narrative, and we need you to stand tall and spread the word from what you hear. We have a dramatic, and I want to emphasize dramatic, and I don't think I've ever used that word before to describe an interview, but we're going to be interviewing Celeste Salam, and she's going to be talking about FEMA, and she's going to be talking about repression, incarceration, re-education. We're going to be talking about their future plans for us. And unfortunately, well, or fortunately, there's more material here than we can cover in a single segment. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to break this up into a two-day broadcast, and today will be part one. And I guarantee you, with the last interview that Celeste and I did, the attention it drew, both from good people with big numbers and bad people with lots of electronic harassment, this is certain to do the same thing. Before we go to Celeste, I need to pay some bills here because some people keep us on the air. Two in particular, storable food. And I'm telling you right now, folks, the signs are there for food inflation. The signs are there for, I think, down the road, using food as a weapon against us. My wife ran into a quota of meat purchases. So did my sister. And it's there, folks. And we could be sending the National Guard in right now to these meat packing plants that are closed, and we're choosing not to. And I think that speaks volumes as to intention. So you really need to begin stocking up in earnest. And right now, MPS has $100 off the four-week emergency package, and we got people buying multiple sets of this, which I think is a great idea because you're not going to beat the price. It's almost 40% off. And so what do? You go to preparewithdave.com for the 25-year shelf life. No glyphosates, no GMOs, just good quality food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Preparewithdave.com. And if you have food, you better have water. And the Naval War College says in the midst of a crisis, ongoing crisis, the fifth day waterborne illness has become a real big problem. And generally, you won't have trouble finding water, but you'll have trouble finding drinkable water. The Alexa Pure Pro water filter is the best. If you go to waterwithdave.com and look at the research there, you'll see what I'm talking about. And they're offering their product for 40% off. So you've got foodwithdave.com, you got waterwithdave.com, and now we've got Celeste Salam with Dave, and we're going to get into some very serious topics. Celeste, I'm glad you're here. Really, we are so appreciative of you being with us. We're glad you're feeling better, and I'm glad you're back in the fight.
Yes, I'm. It's really a crazy time out there, as you know, so there's a lot to talk about.
My. Every week, I just want to share with you my reaction. I've never been stunned by very much until maybe a year ago. But in the last 6 months and 3 months in particular, every week I have the same thought. I can't believe this is happening. This is beyond anything I ever expected. And we're living in absolute insane times. And it just seems like the enslavers of America, they don't really care if they're right or wrong or their ideas stand up to logic and debate. They just want to create as much confusion and instability as possible. Do you see it that way too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because as they say, you know, out of chaos, they will bring their new world order.
Yeah, very, very well said. That's exactly right. Well, I have looked at FEMA camps for a long time, and I'm very familiar with Army Field Manual 39.4. and the organization of FEMA camps, but they left out some details. So I'm hoping you can fill in some of those details. And I think we're looking for a full-scale takeover. So let's take a moment before we get into your area of expertise on FEMA and talk about, do you have a thought or a schematic that really will lay out how the takeover is going to occur? Our civil liberties will disappear. Do you have any notions about how that'll take place?
So personally, I believe that we're in the middle of it with the acronym CBURN, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and E is the wild card. E can be electromagnetic, it can be economic, it can be environmental, it can be explosive, it can be anything that starts with an E, and that is sprinkled in and you are not going to have a single one of each one of these events. You will have multiples. So I am expecting more bios, and with the bios, they're going to be saturating us with chemicals. I just went to a military conference this past week, and they did indicate that they are going to be drawing or connecting the dots that we've been seeing, like geoengineering frequencies and these bios and the chemicals all together, for some very interesting results.
Are they going, well, I guess what I'm saying, are they going to wait for an uprising against this takeover, like the lockdowns and so forth? Or are they just planning one day to flip the switch and they hit us with everything?
So that's kind of complicated because I went over to the World Economic Forum, and I don't know if you've been following my coverage on that, but over there at Davos, they said that sometime in 2020 they are going to pull the plug on the electricity. They did not say when or for how long, but they did say most definitely that in 2020 there would be a global power outage. Of course, probably not for them, of course, but for the average person. So I'm expecting that, well, we only have 5.5 months left. So it will either occur during the uprisings this summer, or it might be when the second wave hits us and people are in lockdown. And then they're going to kind of go nuts, because if you're trapped in your home, you're not allowed to leave. And you have no electricity, you have no water. Maybe you're prepared with a generator, maybe not. But that would mean you would need to store a lot of gas. Or if you have alternative power like water, wind, solar, something like that. So there's many different ways that this can happen. And like I said, they want this, all the, let's see, the United Nations sustainable goals all accomplished and cinched down 100% by 2030. So we've got 9.5 years, and they are really getting aggressive on that program.
No, it's stunning to hear you say that. And you mentioned when the uprisings occur. Are you talking about the people rebelling against a second major lockdown?
It could be what we're seeing right now with these contrived uprisings around the country. I just found out that Kalispell, just north of me, I mean, it's a little podunk Montana town, and they're busing in Antifa from Seattle to cause a little bit of trouble up there, because Black Lives Matter, not all lives matter, but only Black Lives Matter. So it could be that we are also in a very quiet solar time. So when that happens, people with mental conditions, that could be depression, it could be anger, it could be rage, can fly. I even found it in myself. I mean, I was a little bit skeptical that the sun could play a number on my head, but I was writing a book on electromagnetic radiation protection solutions, and so I went through all the body and everything, and what the sun does to our bodies or doesn't do to our bodies. And I found out about this mental connection, and not only does it affect our brain, but it affects our microbiome. And it, believe it or not, our microbiome, which is our gut, controls almost everything in our whole body, like our organs, how, if we have clear thought, our energy level, our hormones, if we're depressed or, have a lot of energy. So we're in this really quiet solar time. And what that does is makes people flip out. And I actually met somebody at the Branson Conference, and the True Legends Conference, and he worked in an ER, and so I would send him a text and say, the sun is going quiet, there's an alert, and he sent me back. One time there were a whole bunch of shootings, and so law enforcement brought him into the ER, and the law enforcement actually had fist fights in the ER to tackle these people and contain them. So that's what happens to people. So it's a combination of things. I mean, people have been cooped up. There's the solar. Most people around the world are not satisfied with what their government is doing and how they're treating the people. And so most people around the world are pretty fed up with it.
What about dissidents within the ranks of the enforcers, like the military and the police? Couldn't we expect a backlash on the side of the people?
How, could you rephrase?
Yeah, in other words, when the crackdowns come and the roundups start, and we're going to get into that,
Right.
you were talking about, when the uprisings come, they're going to unleash, all this negative stuff upon us. I'm wondering about the enforcers, the people in the military, the people who are first responders like the police. What I'm wondering here is how many of them will say, I'm not going to do this to my fellow people. I live in these communities. These are my friends, my family. I'm not doing this. And they rise up against the tyranny. Can we expect to see some of that with what's coming?
In my professional opinion, no. So there was some numbers that were tossed around at FEMA, and I did test them against every sector that I was ever involved in, whether it was a volunteer organization, working in medicine, of course, when I worked at FEMA and Homeland. It's basically 3% of people will do something all of the time, 7% of the people will do something once or twice, like write a senator, do a letter to the editor, or something like that. And 90% of people will do nothing, even if it means their death and the death of their loved one. And so, my take and what I'm seeing is that probably 97% of law enforcement, military will say, we'll take the brown shirt type thing. It's just our job. I'm doing it for a paycheck, and they're going to go along with the flow. There might be 3% that stand up for what is right.
I know in Jade Helm, they practiced for this because they were advertising, I believe it was Craigslist, for, and excuse me, I'm going to paraphrase from memory, dissident, former disaffected American military that are now guerrilla chieftains. And they were paying these people $18 an hour to play that role. And so I think they clearly practiced for that, but they're just practicing for 3%. That is really disturbing, Celeste. Very disturbing to me.
Yeah, it's very sad. It's kind of disheartening, but really, truly, I've tested it. I've tested it for 20 years, and those numbers really do hold strong. I mean, there's very little deviation in them.
I just can't see how parents couldn't rise up to protect their kids. That's mind-boggling to me.
But see, that's why when we share, oftentimes we get the deer in the headlights look. Because people just, it's beyond their normalcy bias, and they said it can never happen. It can't happen in America. So if I just say, and I've got people that say, I just want to hear nice, warm, fuzzy things, and they just don't want to look at the reality of what we're experiencing right now.
When I'm trying to visualize what life is going to be like. So this summer, would you expect to see the unleashing of these chemical, biological, electromagnetic attacks upon humanity as a whole?
I think we're going to have this little break because we've been locked in lockdown or imprisoned in our homes. They're giving us a little bit of freedom, and then then we're going to get hit with by a lot of different things, chemical, biological. I'm hearing a lot of talk in the back room about micro nukes, and I think, and there will be some resistance, but I think, did you ever see the movie America with a K?
Yes, I did.
It's going to be a controlled resistance. Remember that when all those kids went to that dance club And they let the kids go out and they protested in the street and they beat, I think there was a police car, they smashed it up. And then I can't remember the Russian guy, he said, "Oh, this is our controlled resistance." And so they're going to give the people enough, just enough, that they can kind of let off a few their fuses a little bit, but they don't realize that it's highly controlled and managed.
So are the majority going to be in a perpetual state of illness?
Yes, when I was looking into the COVID, I actually like grabbed the doctor's reports the very first week because I knew this was going to go global, and I translated them from Chinese, and it was pretty interesting. And the organization that named the COVID, they said that there was going to be like 90% disability from this virus, that it really didn't have that high of a mortality, but lots of people would become disabled. Like the majority of the people in the world would become disabled from it.
By disabled, what do you mean? Impaired physical functioning, like respiratory, so forth?
Many different things. I think it's going to, because it's composed of many different viruses and from many different species, plus a few things that we don't even know about that are probably classified, but just what I've seen. So that's like 12 different things. Each one has a different facet. So, like the symptoms that you get will be different than the symptoms that I get. And it depends on what facet hits us. And this is one reason that the vaccine is going to be impossible because you don't know, is it the SARS? Is it the MERS? You know, which one is it that is hitting? And it will be different for each person.
Wow, you're taking my breath away. I just the helplessness and hopelessness of people is stunning. Now, the COVID-19 that's out there in society now, am I to understand that you're implying that this is going to mutate into more progressively severe illnesses, or will there be a second agent that'll be released upon us?
There actually was a second agent. It was called the Plant Destroyer. It was found, it came from the same biological warfare center in China, the Wuhan facility. And so it was found in the Chinese patient's blood that very first week. And so in these doctors' report, I'm reading about COVID, 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 and then all of a sudden it starts talking about the plant destroyer, an oomycete, water mold, and I'm like for 3 pages, and I'm going, what are I want to find out about COVID. Well, it wasn't named COVID back then, but it was the Wuhan flu. And so then I went down further and then got back on, and then 3 days later I went back to it, and I had plants starting to die in my house. And there's a particular signatures with that plant destroyer virus, and it took out all my trees. I had 15-year-old trees, lemon trees that had 100 lemons on them, and I grew limes and oranges and spices. I only have 2 trees left. It took everything, and they all had the signature of this particular plant destroyer. But in addition to that one, yes, I believe that there will be either, well, there will be another release, bio-release, but you also have to understand that this COVID has like 12 facets. So it can just change its dimension a little bit, or its orientation, or its spin, and it can hit in one of the other things that is within it. We also have a time of high cosmic rays right now. And because of that, any virus or germ, bacteria, fungus can mutate at a rate of once every 48 hours. So we've got that situation going on as well. So it could be man-made, it could also be from space, causing a mutagenesis.
What do you mean from space? I'm not sure I'd follow
Cosmic rays. So
that.
basically,
Okay, I get it.
okay.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. I was thinking we're under attack from aliens. Okay, so I want to get my mind wrapped around this. We've had a second release, the plant eater, so to speak,
Right.
and but the first release can still mutate and cause more severe problems than it already has. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Do you know what's really interesting? I have always found the subject of predictive programming to be fascinating. And there was a show on TV. Michael Bay was the producer on TNT, and it was called The Last Ship. And in year one, it was the release of a man-made virus that killed 80% of the planet. And then I don't know, year three or four of the show, they had a plant destroyer that caused massive famine. Is that where this is headed with the plant destroyer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Last August, I did a special announcement to my followers, and I said, we are in the first year of famine, that the UN had put out a report that they wanted to sell food by the 1/1000th of a calorie. And DARPA, on the other hand, wants to sell food by the molecule. And according to the World Economic Forum, the whole reason for this COVID was to disrupt the world, every bit of fabric of our society. And one of the big things was to start tapering us off of our food. And so they could sell us food at 1/1000th of a calorie or by the molecule
Why would they want to do that?
to starve us. They are very frank that we are living in a post-human world. And that's what they want. So that's their vision. That's their goal. And now they have operationalized it. That means they've put it into action. Their plan is not no longer sitting in a computer or on a shelf. They are operationalizing it.
The Nazis, when they had their Jewish inmate labor in the concentration camps, they systematically withdrew calories over time so they would eventually starve these people to death. Is that the strategy that I'm hearing you talk about here?
Yes, there's actually a study in Russia that said if you had a diet of 2,000 calories during a stressful time, that it would reduce like your ability to do clerical work. And if you dropped it to 1,500 calories, then people are going to start dying. And at selling food by the 1/1000th of a calorie or of the mole or a molecule, people are not going to be able to afford food. Originally, like I don't know, 3 years ago, they came out and said, so you're going to be allowed 35 grams of a carbohydrate, and that's not a sugar, but just a carbohydrate once every 21 days. And you're going to be allowed 1.2 ounces of a protein, but it's either a laboratory generated protein or a insect protein a week. No meat. That's totally off the table. So we are inching into that ever closer. This next lockdown, meat is going to all but disappear. And I heard your advertisement. I had to smile because every week I go get my quota of meat and I'm just canning, 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 because there's going to be the day that you can't get it. And people go, oh, well, I'll just go hunt. Well, they've thought of that too. So back in 1996, when computers pretty much came online, I went to the Convention on Biological Diversity, and there on the front page they said, oh, we're spreading genetically modified organisms into all the forests. And what those were prions. And so all the animals and the fish have chronic wasting disease, which basically eats your brain. So the animal that you or the fish that you may catch or hunt may exhibit signs, it may not exhibit signs. It's very slow acting. It's very slow to before it's symptomatic. So you really don't know if the meat that you're getting has the prion. But pretty much here, this past year, they started posting signs that said, hunt at your own risk. Chronic wasting disease is here, and you're basically playing Russian roulette.
Sounds with the prion, it sounds like it's a offshoot of mad cow disease
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Yep.
with the kind of symptomology. Well, Paul Martin is a friend of mine, and he cooperates with me on a lot of broadcasts, and he lives in northern Colorado, and they have had the stories about this happening in his area. So this is not the first time I have heard this, but they're cutting off the hunting option. Let me tell you about a quick story that happened. I used to coach college basketball until 8 years ago, and oh gosh, it must have been 15, 16 years ago. I get a call from one of my ex-players who lived in Tennessee, and he was recently married. They had a baby, and these guys showed up at the door in suits. They parked their Suburban on his grass, and they come up and they demand to come in. He goes, "Let me see the warrant." Now, this guy's not a drug user, he's not a criminal, he's an accountant. And they pulled back their jacket, he said, and showed me a gun. He said, so they let him in. He let him in. They're going through his house, and they said, "What are you here for?" "Well, we're checking for your food supplies." And they identified themselves as FEMA with no identification. He calls me on the phone because I had a radio show and he knew about it. He goes, "Coach, what's FEMA?" And I said, "What do you mean, what's FEMA? What's going on?" He goes, "I got these men going through my house." And he says, "I think they would have shot me if I wouldn't have let them in." And this guy was big, 6'7", 250. I mean, he's a man's man, and he acquiesced. And he said they went to his pantry and other areas of storage. They didn't even go into the kitchen. So this leads me, long-winded explanation to my question. Can we expect FEMA raids into our homes to get stored food? And have you ever heard of anything like the story I just told?
Yeah, actually, one of my followers said, what was it? Somebody wanted to come into their house. And it was basically about the same thing, but it wasn't FEMA, or at least they didn't identify. But that is a new trait right now, not to identify yourself as FEMA. That started just about the time that I was leaving the agencies. Before that, everyone would identify themselves, but I did participate in a few exercises where we started to blend in, and you didn't know who was who. You wouldn't know a crisis actor from a FEMA staffer. So.
Interesting. Well, I'm racking my brain here, and I want to say this might have been in the first year of my radio show, so it might have been either 07 or 08 when this happened. And he was totally freaked out by this. And when I ran this story on my radio show, it actually elicited a couple of responses from the Southeast, Georgia, and I think Alabama was the other, where people actually called in and told similar stories. So this is why I don't think it was totally uncommon, but is FEMA going to present at my door one day and say, "Well, you sold storable food. We know you've got it. Let us in. We're commandeering it."
Well, there's another thing that we need to think about because people think that they can stash it someplace safe. And these days, with the technology that they have, they can see what you have. I mean, not only are your purchases in a database, but they can also use satellites or other technology, and even all your smart devices, they could be used to give away your stash location, let's just put it that way.
Is there any way to circumvent it?
You would have to have, because if you line something so a camera with their sophisticated equipment couldn't detect it, then they would pick up that signature, like there'd be a big lead square box or, a Mylar square box. So they would say, okay, that's an area that we need to look at. So it w is going to be very difficult. I mean, you could probably do some 55 gallon barrels and barium and that type of thing. But like I said, with the what we're up against is artificial intelligence and some very sophisticated technology that the Nazis would have loved to have had.
Right. Yeah, you gave me the answer I was afraid I was going to get. But do you know, have they rehearsed these raids? Was that a rehearsal that my ex-player felt? And do you have any idea about the saturation of these raids? Do you have any other information?
So basically, there are three very concerning events that I witnessed. And one of them was 9/11, which changed our whole country and really changed the world for that matter. Two, Hurricane Katrina, and then this COVID disruption of the world. Why do I say Katrina? Because they had so I'll tell you what one of my stories. So Katrina Cat was out in the ocean and far, like really far. It was like hardly a cloud, but there had been some hurricanes in Florida, and there was a huge response the year before in Florida. And so I asked about the response for what they were going to do down in New Orleans. And she goes, "No matter what, there will be no response, no matter what happens." Well, that gave me my first clue. And then Katrina came on shore probably a week later. And there were certain objectives for Hurricane Katrina. And there were about 20 objectives that I know about. And one of those was seizing people's firearms, their storage, euthanizing the elderly. And there was no outcry, putting people in a stadium and letting it go Mad Max. And so there was a lot of violence. They didn't have food. They didn't have water. Some needed medical treatment. They were not allowed out. They were like caged animals, and they were kept there. There was huge water, people donating water, and they would not let them in to the city. All of these were objectives to see, if there would be an outcry. And quite frankly, there was not one outcry at all. And so they knew that they could get away with it. So that is why your friend saw it not too many years later.
So it was like a beta test.
Yeah, 2000, I think it was 2000 or 2007 is when we started doing the blended exercises. So that's about the same time that you say this happened.
Yes, that's exactly right. And what do you think the saturation will be for coming to get people's food? Will they go off of sales lists and they'll visit all those people, or what do you think they'll do?
So there's a real interesting thing. So I used to do be a small ag lobbyist in my spare time. And that because there was a program, a three-prong program started by the United Nations that the United States, it's now mandatory in the United States. And basically it is the federalization of all property. And if you had potential to earn $1,000, you were required to get a premises identification, which put the government in the first position, and you basically got a number, and it had a prefix with the country code of the United States. That way, if the United States ever defaulted, your assets would be on the line. I mean, you're paying for your house and your car and all this kind of thing, but in that with that the initiation of that program, it started on October 5th, 2005 in the United States. Basically everything is federalized. If you have potential to make $1,000 on your property, even an apartment owner has potential. It doesn't mean that you are. Then the next thing was the electronic identification of all life on your property. And then the last thing was 24/7 surveillance. And so the reason I say that is because in accordance with this, which is it's called traceability, is now mandatory. Every piece of property in America, in their eyes, belongs to them, including all your food stash or weapon stash or whatever you own.
Well, if you read Executive Order 13603, courtesy of Obama, they own us too, since they can conscript us into civilian labor and send us anywhere they want.
That actually happened starting September 12, 2001.
Can you tell us more about that? This is the first I've heard about that.
So the day after, of course, 9/11, I was pretty busy. working. But the next day, all these, like, the Patriot Act sprung up, and this volunteer, they wanted to ride the wave of patriotism, which they knew would happen after this type of an event. And they wanted to get every sector of America federalized. And so they did, it's called the, I wish I could think of it, the American Community something or other. Anyway, that started, and it doesn't matter if you were a teacher, if you repaired cars, if you were in banking, if you were a child, if you were a veterinarian, if you were a nurse, if you were a doctor, they wanted everybody to federalize, and basically they would own you. And they did it, you know, help our country type thing, give to your community. It was really heavy during, I mean, I could send you some documents about Obama and how he pushed the program quite heavy-handedly, because, you know, he believed in socialism. So it is basically a form of socialism. And so that's when it began. And I know this is because I was conscripted, and I wasn't asked to do a particular job. I was conscripted. I was shown on an organizational chart where I would be, and there was no discussion.
And this is when you were in FEMA?
Yes. Yes.
And did it require a relocation?
No. No.
Okay, I just, and how, tell me what you can, but I'm wondering how invasive this was. I mean, what the level of enslavement was.
So a person can be sent to at this point, see, that the program was just rolling out, getting started way back when, but now we're seeing the federalization of the police. That's why you see them looking a lot, you know, very militaristic, that type of thing. And this is going to be in every sector. If you are going to be allowed to work at all in the future, which there really isn't that, part of the disruption of the COVID was to get rid of non-essential. We're seeing a little break right now, but this next wave, it's going to be crackdown time. And much of what is normal to you right now is going to disappear.
When you say essential employment, I can't imagine a Walmart clerk is essential employment over on the overall scheme. So what kind of occupations are we talking about?
So the World Economic Forum believes everything should be go automation. They have armies of synthetic beings called synths that are being developed. The whole thing with employees not going and manning the slaughterhouses is because they want to no longer use humans, because humans are no longer safe because of social distancing and we carry bugs and this type of thing. So they want it completely automated. So that's the purpose for that. So there are not going to be a lot of jobs for humans to do.
And is this Fabian socialism rearing its ugly head? Are we going to look at doing away with the people who are, quote, non-essential now because of AI?
Yes.
Oh my.
So if you so that back in 2000 when I was starting to do ag lobbying, they started to change the definitions of like a farmer and a rancher to a producer. And according to the Fabian socialist view, if you don't produce, then you are eliminated because you're useless.
Hence the Henry Kissinger term, useless eaters.
Yes.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've looked at Fabian socialism, and when I used to teach sociology 101, I talked about Fabian socialism. Herbert Spencer, the father of it. I never really thought we'd see it come to fruition in this country. What, if you were to look at an overarching reason, if there is one, what's caused so many Americans in position of authority to embrace this, probably the worst totalitarian plan in all of history?
Greed, power, back to America with a K. They're worthy elite people in that movie that live very well. And it was the anybody else that did not live very well. So they've been promised, I'm sure that they've been paid very well for. And why the average American has gone along with it. I believe that at most Americans have been chemically lobotomized.
I would agree with that. I see a lot of evidence for that. I used to think it was things like cognitive dissonance and learned helplessness, that have been tested in the laboratory on animals and people. But I don't think it explains all of it. And this is why I was wondering about, are there things that are done to us to actually cause us to have, well, I'm going to use a technical term, our hypothalamus and our adrenaline and acetylcholine and so forth, cortisol, they don't respond to normal levels when we should be motivated to do something. So in other words, I wonder if there are chemicals that inhibit what we call the fight or flight response. Like if I have a test tomorrow, Celeste, well, I should stay up and study an extra hour tonight. Okay, well, that would give, I would have to have an adrenaline, minor cortisol experience to say, oh yeah, I'm really worried about this test. But what I see are passive sheep, and it's, and when you say lobotomizing, I'm wondering, I would suspect they've done an agent to attack the hypothalamus and the fight or flight response, so we don't respond to danger.
So, in my spare time, I also listen to military conferences. It's just one of the name of the game, I guess. So, I was always curious about the politicians down in Cuba that had those weird sensations. They felt that they had been attacked. Do you remember that story? Okay, so I call him Dr. Evil. So I was listening to a thing 2 nights ago with Dr. Evil, and it was actually a beta test. It was a beta test on what they plan to do on a global scale.
So is it electromagnetic or biochemical
It
or both?
was a combination of electromagnetic, but it interfered with your physiology, and there were chemicals involved. So the person had been given chemicals, low dose chemicals, ahead of it, and then there was, they said, rate. It wasn't rate. It must have ELF. But then there was another type of frequency too. It wasn't ELF. There were two different types of frequency. But anyway, it was. They experimented on these politicians down there.
Interesting. It sounds like Jose Delgado's work with electronic stimulation of the brain. You can incite rage and you can incite extreme passivity. And after he was brought to Yale from Barcelona, he went to work at SRI for the CIA. Surprise, surprise. I mean, what you're saying to me makes perfect sense because I've really delved in. I mean, my area, my primary area is in mental health, psychology, sociology, and so forth, and research and stat as an aside. And I have looked at this topic for years and years and years. I'm wondering too, is there a chemical interaction effect you think with chemtrails that would induce something similar?
Yes, I'm going to be doing a special broadcast on that this week.
Oh, okay, good. My instincts
And
are good.
that involves Dr. Evil too.
Well,
I mean, this is the modern day Dr. Mengele that I'm talking about.
yeah. Well, do you have an identity for this Dr. Evil?
Oh, I can't spill the beans yet.
Okay. All right. I'll
It's a special
respectfully
talk.
wait.
Okay, it's not, you're not going to have to wait long. I've got the information for Doug to do the clips of him in his own words. So I will be talking about it, but we're actually going to listen to what he says in his own words.
Oh, and this is an actual individual, not a conglomeration of individuals.
This is an individual with the credentials and the power to implement whatever he wants to put implement, and he is a modern day Dr. Mengele.
Yeah, I'll tell you whose name, and don't need to respond to this, but I'll tell you just from my layman's point of view. The name that popped into my head was Fauci because he was serving as the president there for a while. But he's not a psychiatrist, so I don't see that being the answer for that reason. But interesting. I can't wait to find out. When are you revealing this?
As soon as I can get my producer to let me have some airtime. So I think neurocognitive.
There's so many.
Yes. He's a specialist in neurocognitive.
Yeah, there's so many though to choose from now. In the early days, I mean, it would have been easy. I would have said, "Oh, it's Seligman, learned helplessness and electronic stimulation of the brain." But we've come a long way since that time, 30 years ago. And there's so many people here. I just it's too many for me to even begin to guess. But I'm sure he has alphabet soup credentials. So
I mean, I was blown over. I mean, it just took almost took a Mack truck just to listen to his credentials. You know, it was like he's perfectly positioned, and it's alarming.
Is he a household name?
No, I just ran into Dr. Evil for the first time like
Okay.
two weeks ago, maybe.
Okay, I can't wait to find out. And I'll be pestering Doug. So, oh boy. I wasn't even planning on going down this avenue, but this is just so fascinating. And I know my listeners are going to say, wow, this is just so much. And we didn't even get to the incarceration, methods of incarceration, assassination character. We're going to have to do that, in the next segment that we do together, because this is just gone in a way. But I think people need to know, are they going to retain teachers? And I suspect they'll retain the t right type of teachers.
It depends if you're talking short term or long term. The long term is that what we did during our forced lockdown or imprisonment is going to be the name of the game. Teachers are go it's going to be virtual, it's going to be online. They want augmented and virtual reality teachers. They really do not want human teachers. Because human teachers would teach children human values, and they do not want that any longer.
Yeah, but after I retired, I started teaching online for a university I had previously taught at, and I was an online instructor for a while, but I think there was too much human contact there. I had to respond to emails, and your personality comes through, and sometimes you'd have to have a phone conversation to clear things up. And so you're saying they want to avoid that. They want it to be totally automated.
Well, they want artificial intelligence. They want immersion into virtual reality and augmented reality.
Yeah, because then you get status neutral and you can teach the approved agenda with no interpretations. That makes
Right.
perfect sense to me. Well, we're coming up here on the end of this particular segment. And if you're listening to us on Global Star Radio Network, you'll hear us right in the next hour. But if you're on our major affiliates, Red State Talk Radio, out of KYH and so forth, you're going to hear us in the next broadcast the following day. And of course, we'll post this on the website. So just trying to keep everybody up to date on how you usually catch us. So we're going to be back with Celeste according to your schedule, to how you listen to us, and also watch the website. We'll be publishing a summary as well as the actual interview itself. So Celeste, stay tuned. I'll be disconnecting here and we'll reconnect because this is a pre-record, and we'll reconnect for our second segment. Thank you.